Welcome to Bridges. I'm Monica Schmelter. So glad that you could join us today. Today on Bridges, we're going to look at the messianic miracle when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, John chapter 11. And my good friend Adonis Lindsay is here today. Adonis, good to have you back.
Monica, it's always good to be in the studio with you. And thank you for just reaching out and asking me to be a part of this. I've had so much fun and just looking to continue to have fun as we talk about the book of John.
Yeah, and just to really talk about these scriptures that are in there, you know, all 66 books of the Bible, you know, are inspired by God, right?
Yes.
I believe it to be the absolute truth. We were talking at WHTN, like, how can we best serve our community?
Yes.
What can we do in these dark times? And the best thing we could do, of course, is to share God's word.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to stand on it as the absolute truth of God, because it is.
It is.
And
yes,
the book of John is really all about a relationship with Christ, growing in that. It's about the deity of Christ. And while theologians argue about lots of stuff, most of them agree that John wrote. John wrote the book of John. And so let's start with chapter 11 and this miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Why is that called a messianic miracle?
You know, I think with that, that is one of those miracles that, to me, Monica, served many purposes. I think it was more than just a man being raised from the dead. Because when you think of Jesus and you think of God, they're so intentional of what they do. And they're trying to, and to me, it's like they're trying to really drive home the point. Hey, I am the Son of God. And the whole miracle was set up in such a way that it brought out, it showed you unbelief in people. It showed you unbelief in people that were close to Jesus. And which, I go back, Monica, as this book of John is about building that relationship. And I feel like I have to say this. So many people that could fall into the assumption that they're close to God and they're not.
Yeah.
And that's where, and that's a good realization. When you realize, whoa, I'm not as close, then I've got some work to do. And it's attainable to get on a path to get back close to Jesus, because so many things can happen in this world, Monica, and we can all agree to that. We live in a world that's upside down, that's backwards and forward, that's just, it can be crazy at times. And it will test your relationship. It will rip the covers off and cause you to see how much faith do you really have in the God that you say you serve. And I think that's what this miracle, to me, as I read those scriptures, and it just, many things jump out off the pages to me, but I really feel like God is at that point, and Jesus is at that point where it's like, guys, I've been with you. I'm on a timeline, and you still don't get it yet.
Yeah, and you know, you look at all that's changed, right, from that day until now.
Yeah.
All the technology, all the life, and yet isn't it still so much the same that we have the Bible, we have these stories that are the absolute truth? Yes, I know that Mary and Martha and everybody in the Pharisees, they were all with Jesus. It's his last days. He's on a deadline.
Yeah.
He's going to give his life. Like, that's got to be concerning to
him.
Yes. People not getting it have to be concerning. And I look at today and I think, okay, the darkness in our world, we live in this world where more and more every day, we see everything that is a lie being called the truth.
Yeah.
We see the things that are wrong being called right. And I think Jesus knows that, you know, whatever day it is, we don't know when Jesus is coming back, but we know that we're getting closer. And he's got to think, okay, people, where are you?
Yeah.
So this is our chance to like wake up and say, okay, maybe I'm not where I need to be with Christ, but that can change today.
That can change. Absolutely.
I can open up the word today, and we want you to open up the word with us. We're in John chapter 11. We want you to do that. We want to study this out together, this messianic miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. And just what are some of the things that you see in this, Adonis, that you can apply to life even today?
Well, I think the first thing, Monica, is, you know, Jesus, I go back, he's so brilliant. And he's so strategic. God's not going to waste one moment of time.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Everything he does is on purpose. And to me, I think one of the first lessons I get out of this story is that even when Lazarus has passed away, and even before that, it talks about the relationship that Jesus had with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And they seem to be all close, good friends.
Yes.
And when he passed away, Jesus wasn't even there.
Yeah.
Okay. Wasn't there. Mm-mm. And word got back to him. And I think and Jesus already knew, but I think even with his disciples, he's trying to set this up in such a way. I want to see where your faith is. I want to see. And I'm thankful because he knows the days that we're approaching, Monica.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
And even in those days, he knew he was not going to be there much longer. And he was doing this faith gauge on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what he told them. He goes, you know, they're like, Jesus, you know, Lazarus is dead. And he said, we're going to wait a little bit.
Yeah.
We're
going
to wait. We're going to wait. We're going to wait. And they waited. They waited past the 3 days because biblical customs back then, you know, when somebody passed away, there were some that believed that the spirit still hovered around the body. Now, that's just whether that's true or not, I don't know. But that's what the people's belief, if they believe that. And so Jesus took that into account. And he was going to stay longer because he didn't want that to be a factor. So he was setting it up right then and there, Monica, that when I get done with this, you have no other alternative but to know that I am the Son of God. And I really feel like he was bothered that he had to go to that extent.
You know, we know that. We know that he was bothered. We know that in John chapter 11, it talks about him being angry. And it doesn't give, like, lots of explanation on what that's about. But, you know, I wanted to say you brought up here how Jesus delayed. If you look at John 11, I'll just read verse 5 really quick. It says, so although, this is after Jesus finds out Lazarus is passed, although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days.
Yeah.
So I think at this point, they're trying to get word to him that he's sick.
Yeah.
But he stays where he was. And so we have to know that that's on purpose.
That's on purpose, yeah.
And that he's not there, and that Mary and Martha are just feeling like, well, you know, if only you had been here. You could have stopped all of this. And yet there's all of this going on. And the Pharisees are watching.
They're sitting down because they're constantly plotting, Monica. And I think that's a lesson or a life lesson for us to know, even in the world we live in. There's people that are always plotting to take out the work of God, the work of Jesus. There's systems in place in this world that are always plotting. They got that pharmaceutical spirit behind them, Monica, that's always plotting to null and void the things of God. And I think Jesus knew that. God knows the end from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I really believe he's trying to teach him and see where your faith is, because this is going to be something I need to know who's really with me. I need to know if I need to spend a little bit more time with you to get your faith where it needs to be. Because even, you know, you can imagine his disciples probably talking amongst themselves when Jesus told them, hey, you know, Lazarus is sleeping. Then finally he got to the point, guys, Lazarus is dead, all right? He's dead. But we're gonna go raise him up.
Yes.
But he's dead. And the frustration comes, Monica, as I was reading in verse 33, it says, therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, so everybody is crying, he groaned in the spirit. Now this was not a him joining in the weeping party. And he groaned in the spirit. I think that was like, man, they're coming to me and they still don't know who I am.
Yeah.
You know, he said, groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, the shortest, most powerful to me scripture is Jesus wept. He cried. He cried. Not over Lazarus. He knew what he was going to do. But he's looking at all the unbelief that is around him right now. And, you know, you think about today's world, how things happen. It's all to try to shake your faith. When things go south and you look at the world today, listen, if you don't have hope in Jesus, hope in God, it'll be easy for your faith to be shaken.
Yes.
But Jesus, on assignment, show me where you laid him. And then he cried because he knew the bigger miracle was getting people's faith, Monica.
That's the whole thing.
That's the bigger miracle right there. I got to get
that. The messianic miracle is that he raised Lazarus from the dead. And we know that that is a miracle.
Yes.
Like we don't dispute that.
Yeah.
But you all, the larger challenge and the biggest miracle is when we wake up to the truth and the reality of God's word and say, okay, so times are dark here on planet Earth and everything that can be shaken is being shaken. I think of that scripture when Jesus says, but when I return, will I find faith on the earth?
Will I find faith? Still looking, still looking, Monica. Yeah.
Will I find faith that his eyes go to and fro across the world to find one whose heart is right toward him, or in other words, seeking him, not talking about perfection in our own selves.
Absolutely.
And so for me, you know, I can look at all of these events in these last year and I can definitely say, I've definitely been troubled. I feel everything's been shaken. It's just been, and so I've looked at myself as being caught undone in some ways, but what encourages me in that is the fact that I'm aware.
Yeah.
Like that my eyes are open, that I have some growing to do.
Absolutely.
And some studying to do. These are indicators that while I'm not perfect, I'm moving toward them. I still want to grow. And and I hope that that's what all of you see too. Yet you may be completely shaken and angry about all the things that, have been going on, but you're still hanging in there. And let that encourage you as we study the word together, as we all endeavor to grow closer to Christ.
Yeah. And I think that's key, Mana, because even out of our own mouth, as the sisters kept saying, Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died.
Yeah.
And if we think about that, Monica, if that were our belief in Jesus, we would confine him to one spot.
Right.
And I think when he heard that, he's thinking, God's everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm already there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, once again, that's that bigger miracle. They saw him in bodily form, but he was already there. He was there before they got there. He's already there.
Yes.
And they're saying this statement that put him in a box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's what grieved his spirit. Because both of them, Lord, if even after he said, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life, he who believes in me, yet though he were dead, he shall rise again. He's making these statements. And they're still, if you had been here, he would not have died. And they put him in the box. He grieved, but he was still on assignment. And I think that showed him how this miracle could set up to grow people's faith, to stretch people's faith. And it will still bring on the attack of the enemy because it always does. But I think he realized, I still got some work to do here beyond raising Lazarus from the dead, you know. And, you know, as Christians, as Christ followers, I think it's so important for us, Monica, not to put God in a box. And things will always happen in life that we will never understand this side of heaven, this side of eternity. Things are going to happen, come out of the left field. It's going to happen, but we cannot put God in that box. Well, that's God, if you had, because then it's almost putting blame on God, and we got to be careful.
Yeah, I mean, it's his last few days on earth.
Yes.
And they're still like, well, if only you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. You all, that's not even true. That's what they speculate, right?
Yes, yes.
It's what I speculate. Well, God, if you had only, or if I had only, those are all speculations.
Speculation.
And that is our limiting God and putting mm-hmm, him in the box. Mm-hmm. And the larger issue is, are we judging him?
Yeah. You know?
Are we questioning him? Like, you should have done this another way.
You should have done this another way, or yeah.
That's dangerous.
Yes, very dangerous, because as humans, even, you know, you'll find out how close you are to people.
Yeah.
When they think you're the reason of their misfortune.
Uh-huh.
Or mm-hmm. something bad happening in their mm-hmm. life. That's when true colors kind of mm-hmm. come out, Monica. Mm-hmm. And here you've got friendships being tested. You've got Pharisees looking at Jesus, trying to get him to trip up and make a mistake. And I don't even think Jesus cared about what was going on with the Pharisees. He knew, you know what? They're on assignment, just like I'm on assignment.
Right.
They're gonna do their thing, but I'm here to do my thing. And as he was moving forward, I think he said something. He said a prayer to me that really stood out, Monica, that really let me know, okay, this is not just about him raising Lazarus from the dead. But he said this prayer, and it's almost like if you were in the middle of a crowd of people and you wanted to bring an awareness of God, would you pray silently or would you pray out loud?
Yeah.
You'd pray out loud.
Right.
You know,
right.
You wouldn't be obnoxious with it or anything like that, but you would be on assignment even to let people know, hey, there's a God out here. So he said this prayer after, you know, they took him and to where Lazarus was. He's standing there. And even before he prayed, Monica, he asked him, you know, roll the stone away. Now, that's intentional as well. You know, as we set this scene up, and a lot of people, I think, were right on the verge of a miracle and may miss it because they're uncomfortable. And when he said, roll the stone away, now you got the Pharisees there. You got the law there. You got a man that's been dead for 3 days. They've rolled the stone because they think he's decaying in there. And now here's the truth of it, Monica. We don't know what the condition of Lazarus' body was behind that.
Nope.
He could have been decaying. It's 3 days.
Right.
That has no concern to God.
No.
But Jesus just calls out an instruction, roll the stone away. Like we were talking about in one of our sessions earlier about following the voice of God.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't call out a name for somebody. He just said, roll the stone away.
Yep.
And somebody had to have enough faith, Monica.
Yes. Yes.
To step up through the stairs of the Pharisees mm-hmm. and roll that stone away.
Yes.
Somebody had to have faith to move, to roll that stone
right.
away.
We look at this story, and you all, we have the complete John chapter 11. These people didn't.
They didn't.
They didn't
exactly.
have. They didn't. Okay, so there, you talk about living on the edge of your seat. I cannot
yeah.
imagine. Okay, all these people crying.
Yeah.
Jesus praying out loud. When Jesus says to roll the stone away, and you're right, he doesn't say anyone's name. We
no.
don't know. They knew.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. But even at this point, Martha says, but it's,
yeah.
the smell will be terrible.
Yeah.
Like Jesus wouldn't know that the smell
exactly.
would be terrible. So you've got someone that loves Jesus saying, yeah, but the
yeah.
smell's going to be terrible. You got the Pharisees who are all like on high alert.
Yeah.
Let's see what he does now.
Yeah.
Let's see what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
All that tension in the air, dead man grief. And he gives us instruction to roll the stone away. So if you touch that stone, then you're associated with
you're
Jesus.
Associated with him. And somebody overcame that.
Yeah.
Somebody overcame that because their
yeah.
faith was at a level that I don't know what I'm going to see right now, but I'm about to see something.
That's right.
That's going to be great right
yes.
now. But the same people that were crying about, you know, their brother being dead, you would think, Monica, they would be in alignment and say, yeah, do what Jesus said. But what do they do? Once again, it's like that humanity comes and say, oh, no, don't do it.
Right.
What are you doing, Jesus? After Jesus has already said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, to me, that would give me enough indicator to know that he knows what he's doing and he's about to do a miracle
yeah.
here. But why am I trying to talk him out of it?
Yeah, like he wouldn't know that it would be stinky.
Exactly.
And we can look, Adonis, at our own situations today.
Yes.
And all the times that we're like, well, God, this is so bad. Like, it's been so long. I mean, this is a rotten situation.
Yeah.
It stinks. God, this. And we load ourselves up with these thoughts.
Yeah.
And maybe he's saying to us, not the exact words of roll the stone away, but he gives us a part that we have to play, and we don't want to do it. I mean, when I look at this, Jesus could have had an angel roll away the stone.
He could have spoke to the stone and said, get out of the way. So that's
there's a part. There's a part in faith that we play and that we have to obey no matter what we see or think we see or feel or smell. And I think as you talked about missing a miracle, if we're going to miss it, that's probably the place where we miss it.
That's the place where we miss it, Monica. And, it, you know, so many times I believe there's these attacks on our faith.
Yeah.
And we've got to be quicker to recognize those.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's not the enemy. It's not the outside. It's what goes on in our mind.
Yes, it
right
is.
Right here.
Yes, it is.
And we talk ourselves out of it. But thank God there were some people there that weren't afraid of the religious eyes that were looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't afraid of, okay, if I step up and roll this stone away, what's somebody going to say? No, that was a faith-filled person to roll that away. And then Jesus said this prayer, Monica. I'm going to get back to this because he said this. It was very intentional. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me.
Amen.
And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me.
Amen.
That right there, Monica, that is the whole premise of this miracle. Jesus was honest. He started way back when word first got to him.
Yeah.
And he told his disciples, hey, you know, we're going to stay a little while. We're not in a hurry. Lazarus is sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
He was on assignment. All to get people to believe that he was the Son of God, that he was sent from heaven down to earth to save the world. He was on assignment. And even today, we're still trying to get people, Monica, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
I tell people this all the time. You know, some you can't give Jesus a nickname.
Mm-mm.
You can't I get irritated sometimes. Maybe this because I'm getting older. I don't know what it is, Monica. But when they like, oh, that's my homie, Jesus. No, he's not your homie.
No.
He's not your boo.
No,
come
he's
on.
Not.
He's none of that.
No.
He is Jesus Christ. He's the King of kings.
Yes.
He's the Lord of lords. The moment you give him a nickname, to me, you start devaluing who he is.
Yes. In the book of John, as we go through it and we're studying this chapter by chapter now, one of the main points, the overall points that the book of John is sharing with us is the deity of Christ.
Who he is.
And so he is our elder brother.
Yes.
He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's our advocate. He's not our homie.
No.
It's not like that.
He's not my road dog.
No,
none of that.
No.
He's the King of kings, Monica.
He is. And we have to have that reverential love and respect for him and that gratefulness that he calls us friend.
Exactly.
But that understanding that he is a much greater friend. He is Lord and Savior.
Exactly.
And you all, knowing the deity of Christ changes everything.
Yes.
And so some of these people clearly didn't get it. And some of us don't.
I think that's where Mary and Martha were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they were still associating him as the Jesus that would come over and they would cook for him and serve him and hang out and sit at his feet and listen to the teachings and the good Bible study and the good friend that he was. But he was the Son of God.
Amen.
And I think, once again, going back to Jesus wept because he realized, man, they still don't know who I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's why this prayer that could have been silent,
he said,
God, I know you always hear me.
Amen.
But I'm saying this because I need them to believe that you sent me here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know,
intentional.
And you know, Adonis, the whole point of this Bible and Jesus being sent to this earth is for us to have the opportunity to believe. It's not just good stories. Yeah. It's not just feel good. It's not, oh, Jesus is a good friend, advocate. He is those things, but he is the savior of the world. And the question is he the savior of my life?
Yeah.
Yes. That's what we all have to ask ourselves. And so he prays that prayer, as you said, so intentionally out loud, and it sets so many things in motion. And yet even today, all these years later, it's like, are we grieving him mm-hmm. by not believing?
That's the key, Monica, because even, you know, even after this miracle, so many did start believing, but yet so many did not believe. You know, and I think at that point, even, you know, there's the story in the Bible where the rich man and Lazarus, they both, I don't know if it was Lazarus or, but they both die and they go, one is in the bosom of Abraham and the other one's in hell.
Yes.
And he's like, Lord, if you can just send some people to my family.
And
the response was, even if I raise up one of the prophets and go, people are still not going to believe.
Yeah.
And it comes back to overall, do you believe that he is the Son of God? And when you believe that he is, that changes everything.
It does. It does.
It changes everything. That true belief, even when it jumps off the scripture, off the pages, that's got to be alive on the inside of you. And then you shape your life around your belief system.
Right. All of our decisions, our choices.
Is our belief system.
Yeah. You know, it's whether he's our savior or we think he's our homie.
Yeah.
That changes everything.
That changes
the relationship. And so, you all, we have this opportunity today. There is still time to believe today. There is still time to grow in Christ today. You know, that's why the Bible, I think, says today is the day of salvation.
Exactly. Right now. Right now. I tell my kids this all the time because it's like, you know, as kids, you know, they mess up. And I have to, like with my son, I got to teach, guys, this is not the end of the world.
No.
Don't get so down on yourself. We're here to help you not make those mistakes again, you know? So when I correct that, it's to help you recognize it more. I see it, but you didn't, but let me help you with that. And this is not the end all.
No.
But I think so many times as adults, we have that, we can be childlike and be like, oh, this is it. I'll never bounce back. I'll never.
But we've got today.
Yes.
We're out of time, but thank you. I want you to stay again so we can take look at another chapter in John. But thank you so much.
Yes, thanks for having me, Monica.
Hello, my name's Rachel Carmen, and I want to invite you to come over and listen to my podcast. It's called Real Refreshment. For years and years as a young mother, I chased after the wind, thinking that the world could offer me the refreshment I longed for. But it was only when I discovered it in the person of Jesus Christ that I really found refreshment. Come on over and join me as we dig into Bible study. I'll see you there.